Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest joining me today, also coming from the fabulously fluoridated island chained nation, is Alexander Hales. And New Zealand's where he hails from, incidentally. Alexander, welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you today?
Somewhat fabulous is my standard response, bro.
Somewhat fabulous indeed.
Yeah. Now, we met at the normal conference. It turns out you're also a bit of an up-and-coming comedian. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I studied drama school for 2 years down in Wellington, where I smoked a lot of pot, which is why I came to the conference. And, you know, I enjoy making people laugh, and I'm still not 100% sure whether it's my face or whether it's, like, actual talent. But that's where the up-and-coming is, I guess. So I've been kind of just dabbling in jokes and making family laugh since I was born. And then I just got up on stage and I forgot all my jokes the first night, and I just got really racist and people still laughed. So I guess it must have been something good, you know?
Well, you know, if you can get away with racism and have people laugh as opposed to call you a racist, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, how I see it, if I'm openly racist about every single race, it's not racist. It's still being equal.
They all kind of cancel each other out, you know. It's like if you've got, I don't know, 20 diseases or something like that, you're actually perfectly healthy.
Yeah, oh, that's a bit of a strange fucking paradox, eh?
Well, you know, not as strange as the paradox that Monsanto created that was half ox and half parrot.
I was actually thinking, I reckon it'll be a really good campaigning idea for New Zealand this year, since it's the election year. They should bring back Facelift. Do you remember Facelift?
What was it, like some kind of a competition program with the policy?
It was like people got made up prosthetically to look like, you know, the caricatures and the papers of the politicians.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Just took the piss, like Don Brash would go to the clubs, try and sell ecstasy to find out about the drug laws and stuff and how it actually works. But he'd be like, yeah, I got a wife from Singapore. I'm Don Brash. And it was awful, but it was so funny. And Helen Clark was just an open lesbian with, who's the guy who looked like a pig? I cannot remember the life. I was really young when this came out, but I remember that's what got me into politics. It was so funny.
Well, in fact, I believe there was laws passed in New Zealand that made it kind of like illegal to take the piss out of the politicians, like against satire or something like that. I remember it being mentioned on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show in the States.
Oh, really? And they were probably laughing at that because, I mean, they take the piss out of their politician.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the things, Parliament is sovereign, so they don't have to follow their own laws. And if they break their own laws, they can just change them. Retroactively.
Or fire one person who doesn't really have much to do with it.
Yeah. Isn't some piece of meat for the masses. Here you go. Here's a bad guy.
Where's a bad guy? Oh, yeah, true. So I was like, ooh, waiting for the bad guy. No bad guy, right?
Yeah, well, it's because they're kind of all bad. Well, I can't actually do that, like, carte blanche to say every politician in the New Zealand government is bad, right?
I can't remember their names, but the guys who came to the Colorado calling conferences were awesome. And I'm sure they've got a little bit of fucking, you know, underlining things going on there, but they were really interesting to listen to and really, like, you could kind of agree with their views on why pot wasn't legalized and that, like, as what they were talking about kind of thing. They weren't bad people. I honestly believe that it's mainly their leaders, probably.
Well, I think it's more like the reason I don't join organizations is because organizations tell you to do things, and because you're a member, you can't really not do those things that they tell you to do.
Yeah.
So regardless how good the politician is, they have parliamentary induction and they've got party policy that they're signed up to, and they really can't speak outside that paradigm if they want to stay in the party. And that's the thing that gets me, is even if they weren't corrupt, even if they were good, if the party is,
yeah,
then they're doing it by proxy.
So they can't really, yeah, which is kind of the downfall of our parliamentary system, though. I think, like, as much as it is a party of people coming together to kind of make a country better, in the end of the day, there'll be those certain couple of people that make the decisions. And you can't, like, no matter how much, like, someone disagrees with that, if they don't have a big backing, there won't be any change.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the reason why hierarchies exist, more or less, to keep the young and up-and-comers in the system for long enough so that they're no longer the young up-and-comers and they're simply the old continuation of what's always been before. Unless, of course, they get forced to change.
I noticed that through the when I went to the Dactory's fifth year anniversary with Blaze. And we went down there, and it was all these old guys, and I'm like, and me and Blaze having a chat, and we were just thinking, you know what, this has to be us. This has to be, like, my generation, and even Blaze's generation and your generation. It has to be us, because I don't want to say they're getting too old, because they're still doing, like, I mean, shit, there are some people from Normalhood still doing some huge things, but, and, like, really helping out, but they are getting too old. They need the fresh faces, the new generation coming through saying, yes, we still agree with this. It wasn't a one-time thing, you know? And
well, the way I look at it, I mean, I don't know how old most of your friends are, but most of my friends are, like, roughly twice my age. Mm. And what I think I've seemed to notice is that the reason I did that is because I didn't have my dad around for most of my life. And it came to a really important realization, is that my elders have been through a lot, and they've got a lot of knowledge, they've got a lot of experience, but they no longer have the energy of youth, and they no longer have, in many cases, the creativity of youth. Everybody comes up with their best ideas when they're young, and they live their life and so on and so forth. Experience and people telling you the opposite of what you think is true just kind of winds up killing that in some way. So I think the future is really all about the young generations getting together with the elders of movements and basically help each other. If you're young and you've got energy and ideas, it's up to the elders to help you to implement those ideas, how to develop them.
See, I'm the same. I never grew up with my father, and I've always had older people as sort of like role models all through my life, up to like into the 80s kind of thing, you know, like, and I am... I've always seen myself as much more mature than my age, so I don't really go out getting, like, absolutely trashed on the weekends like all my friends do. And I can see from the elders' perspective, like, I enjoy living in that experience, if you know what I mean, and living and kind of getting the knowledge that I need to move forward while I'm still young, but not having the arrogance of a teenager. And, yeah, so that's pretty much my philosophy on it all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I also noticed that because I've acquired so much knowledge for free from my elders, I haven't actually earned any of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to earn the whole lot through walking through life and bumping into things, that sort of thing. And then I say, "Hey, Vinny, there's a cliff over there. You really don't want to look at. You really don't want to walk off that one. I did that once and I broke a leg. It was a bastard.
It was a fucking not fun time. Yeah, but how I see it is." Like, say, in the context of me going to drama school, after the third quarter of that first year, I had learned everything that I was going to learn from them. And all it was now is using that knowledge, that experience that they had, to further that knowledge and that experience to take it to somewhere else, to think of the new ways of getting around these things, you know?
Well, that's the ideas, youthful creativity and everything coming out, you know?
And how I see it is they've actually discovered recently, in the last week, I believe, that that memories are actually transferred down through DNA. And I found that really interesting because I love that page. I fucking love science. And it's on Facebook, I think. And honestly, they come up with like things that were discovered in this last month, and that was one of them, that DNA is now proven to be transferred down, and memories is transferred down through DNA. So you've got to really feel bad about the Aborigines because they've been saying that for years. Years and years.
Well, you're going to be feeling bad about everybody for that matter. I mean, you know, I'll just look back on my own life and think, frack. Imagine what kind of bad stuff I'm going to be passing on to my genetic heritage.
Oh, yeah. Those nights, eh? Those dumb teenage nights that we're going to have to deal with.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just now at the end of my 20s, and I've started to think a hell of a lot about my early 20s and my late teens and looking back and regret. And I've spoken to a lot of my elders about this, and they say, yeah, bro, it pretty much happens every decade.
Everyone goes to that stage where they just don't want to remember from about 15 to about 29.
Either that or you look back. What was the movie Watchmen? It says the future keeps getting darker and darker, but the past, even the grimy bits of it, just keep on getting brighter.
Mm. That's such a, I love the Watchmen though. They're such a good. It's like really morally, even though it's such a fucked up movie, you learn so much about because that's how I look at films. I look at life, what I can learn from the current situation I'm in, or from what I'm watching, or from what I'm reading. It's all a path of knowledge for me because when I was in high school, I really didn't enjoy learning because I was being forced to learn. But now that I've left school and I'm kind of doing my own thing, I kind of crave learning, if you know what I mean. It's quite a strange sensation.
Oh yeah, I think what happens is as soon as you get out of high school, you realize that oh my god, now I can actually learn from my own on my own volition, right? Like. I had to do homework on my own, but that was somebody forcing me to do something on my own. Now I can actually do something on my own that I actually want to do. And I realized that I just wanted to get wasted and party up and stuff like that because I wasn't allowed to do that while I was in high school learning.
Mm. I agree entirely. And then you kind of leave home or leave that environment you've been stuck in for fucking, 11, 12, 13 years. Of your life, which is the majority of your life has been spent in education. And I was thinking about the other day, I mean, I don't know how to fucking account my own information. And I'm a stand-up comedian, so I'm self-employed, and I don't know how to fucking do all that tax refund and shit. That's the sort of thing I think they should be teaching you in schools. You know, they're teaching you bullshit. Like, yeah, the first 10 years are probably all stuff you're going to need to know, but from there you can teach yourself that stuff, that English, that maths, you can all teach yourself that. But the things you're not learning in high school when you're about to step from a mothered environment into the adult world is all the fundamentals that you need to know to move on, you know, to actually get somewhere and be able to structure your life well so you're not fucking messing up all the time, you know?
Well, it's just what happens to prisoners after they get let out after like 20, 30 years inside or something. You get institutionalized. You become so dependent on people telling you what to do, telling you how to think, and telling you how to live your life that you, when you get let out, you get so depressed because your sense of identity was sourced from people doing that to you. And now you have to do that for yourself. You don't know who the hell you are anymore. And so that's why you wind up going to university or getting some kind of a crappy slave job or something like that, because you want that feeling to remain, that feeling like you belong to something.
See, I always have real heated arguments with my mum about money because I owe my mum a heap of money for just over the years, and I'm really intent on paying her back. But I honestly, since I've been growing up around this fucking corrupt, just I hate to use the word corrupt because it's like a terrorism word, you know? People are, ooh, corrupt. But I hate using the word corrupt, but it is such a corrupt system, and I get really annoyed that all it is, all money is debt, and I would rather be living in a society where we trade things, not money, because we're so dependent on money. If money disappeared, what would we do? It would take us so long to get back to a more simple time where you're just trading, you know, trading, and I reckon power can be free. I mean, they've proven that solar energy could fucking power the planet for years, you know, and it's so, it just makes me angry.
Oh, yeah. And there's a whole bunch of stupidity out there. And look at it this way. You've been born, you go into the institutions controlled by a bunch of scumbags, and then you come out believing that these bunch of scumbags are actually there to help you and make your life better, etc., etc. And it realized that later on down the track, well, everything was a lie, and you get really pissed off about it. You know, kind of like if you pay your $20 or something like that, and you get a box of beers for and there's supposed to be a dozen in there, 330 mils and 5%, and it finds out that there's only half a dozen in there, and they're only 2%, and they're like 150 mils or something. You know, you feel like you've been shortchanged, and you go up to the piss shop owner and you go, "Bro, you've sold me a lemon. What the hell are you doing here?" And the guy says, "Well, I've got a shotgun underneath this counter. Do you have a shotgun underneath your coat there?" No, I don't. "Do you have any offensive weapon with which to actually enforce justice upon me ripping you off?" Well, no, I don't. Then get the hell out of my store.
Pretty much. Like, this is what life is, eh? And since I learned that all money goes back to about, what is it, three families? Is it? I don't even know. I know the Rockefellers are one of them, and the Rotzenbergs or something.
Well, there was.
Sounds suspiciously Jewish to me, and I'm not.
It was Rothschild, I think. And if you go to the New Zealand Reserve Bank in Wellington, on the wall, the Rothschild in German means red shield, by the way. So on the wall behind the front desk of the Reserve Bank, the ground floor, you can even see it through the doorway. There's a giant red shield. And it has the crest of the Rothschild family on it.
Mm.
Yeah. Right, see, when people say this is, it's anti-Jewish or it's conspiratorial or something, dude, just freaking look!
It's there.
You know, what have you got to lose other than the entire faith in your system and the entire reason why you based your life and thinking you were free on it, you know? It's not that bad a thing to lose. I mean,
but if you ask a normal person, you ask them, is the Reserve Bank a government building, a government-owned thing? 90% will say yes. It's not. It's owned by the fucking families that own the money. And they can pretty much, like, I mean, money's just such a fuck system. All they're doing is printing it, and I don't know how much that costs or why it costs that much, but, I mean, to, like one $10 bill, I'm sure it must be fucking tons more, and it's just that's how the debt works. You know, they'll be like, "I need..."
Well, what they do is, it's, let's say they'll give you a dollar, but they'll also print another 6% or something like that. So it's a dollar and 6 cents for every dollar they print out, which means that there's a 6 cent reserve, which you cannot pay back because they don't actually print that money. It's kind of like a game of musical chairs. You put 10 chairs out and you have 11 people in the room. Eventually, when all the chairs are gone, there's only one person sitting down. Doesn't matter, bro. You got nothing. All right. It's a mathematically perfected system of ripping people off, which is why John Key was so good at it back in the day.
Because he, what was he? He was the smiling assassin, eh? He's still known as that.
I met a daughter of one of his colleagues at a party one night in Auckland, she asked me, "Vinny, do you know why they call him the smiling assassin?" "Not really." He says, "Well, my dad was working in the same office, and he came in and he fired 200 people on the floor. 200 people, one by one. They went into his office, got fired, walked out crying, you know, how am I going to support my kids and everything like that." You know, how guilty it would make an ordinary person to fire somebody, right? He's doing it all with a smile. And then after it's all done, he walks out of his office with a smile. The smiling assassin.
Because fucking that cunt, he has like $200 million, $500 million in the Reserve Bank in America or something. Like, in a fucking safe place that nothing can touch it. And he's just, all he's been doing is fucking working the stock market since he was like a 20 or some shit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been like, I was unaware to it. He's actually been in the fucking media for years. But he was invisible to our country, really, until he became Prime Minister, you know, until he became the leader of National. And I just find it really weird that he just, what do we do now? I have all the money in the world I need. I've already fucked over countless businesses. I'm going to go home and just fuck with their system for like 5-6 years, as long as I can. Yeah. But that new book's come out on them, eh? I'm interested to read that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be great, I think. Look, it's kind of like a... you've heard of Alice in Wonderland going down the rabbit hole. John Key's got a big rabbit hole, bro. Oh, my God.
He's been digging a grave for so long.
The things that he has done. I mean, just even when he was part of the National Party, I mean, what was his name? I interviewed Nicky Hager, and he was telling me about all these things that he was given by a National Party insider, all these private correspondence between the leaders of the National Party, and he said that the way that they referred to their voters would make every single voter never vote for them ever again. Okay, so if you're a National Party voter, supporter, listening to this now, they think that you are an idiot. They think that you are so easy to manipulate that they can tell you blatant lies straight to your face with zero evidence and that you'll believe them. They think that you are sheep and scum to be dominated, to be used as pawns to get their agenda through. Vote for them again. I dare you. And then argue with me about whether or not I was right. Tell me how many times you've voted these people in when they've done what they said they're going to do.
It's so suspicious that they illegalize something that is frowned upon in the community, or do something that is frowned upon in the community to make it better every election year. And that's it. What else do? They work for the rich for the rest of the time. National, anyway. I'm not putting up any fucking other, you know. And I found it really interesting, and I've got nothing against, like, Alistair or any of the ALC guys, because they're really nice guys and they've got some great fucking aspirations. Aspirations, but
it's like an aspiring aspiration.
Yeah, aspiration. Yeah, I can't wait to just appear and acknowledge.
I aspire to be an apparition. When I die, I'm never going away. I'm gonna haunt yous.
Ghost trips all over again. I saw that ad from then on. Aspiring apparition, man. No, anyway, fucking, I really enjoy. But what they were saying, what the Greens and the Labour guys were saying, were, look, if you're voting for ALC, as much as we may agree with their policies and things, it's still more two steps back, one step forward, because there's not all the votes going for ALC aren't going for Greens and aren't going for Labour to get fucking National out of the fucking house. But some people believe that how do we know that Labour isn't as corrupt, you know?
And I'm again, track record, bro. What has Labour always promised? And what has National always promised? And what have they both never delivered on? Anything that they've promised!
Anything they've promised. But anyway, I think that getting Labour through, how I see it, gives us more time to get Greens, because I'm a strong believer in Greens. I want to get their votes up. I need to see them get somewhere.
Oh, you need to know your Agenda 21 before you vote Green, bro. You know? You know about Agenda 21?
I actually don't.
No? Oh, dude, you got to freaking Google that stuff, man. Well, basically, UN Agenda 21 document signed by Jim Bolger, George H.W. Bush on Prince Charles' private yacht, 1992, Rio Earth Summit. It's basically a stock and stack total communist control system for a world government. Everything, every single thing that we do will be completely controlled. Most of the rural areas will be left back to grow back to nature, and people will be forced off their land into mega cities where they have smart meters, recording devices, hardly any private vehicle conveyance. It'll just be all public transport, totally surveilled. Chips and cards and everything have to show your identity everywhere, even when you go on the bus. Total control, dominance, and system. And guess who's got that as their environment policy?
Greens.
And Labour, and National, and the Internet Party.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
How? What the fuck?
Exactly. It's because it's the UN. They're loving, they're caring, they're trying to do the right thing. It's called sustainable development. How could that be bad? Well, it sustains tyranny and develops it slowly. That's how it could be bad.
It's pretty much bad from the get-go. Don't say it's not bad and then not prove it's not bad. Just say it's bad and then stop doing it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your problems, like, we understand you may be smoking a bit of crack on his yacht, but just fucking throw it away. Like, it's not a good It's not a good idea. I reckon that will be when I reckon there's a big uprising coming. Not soon, it's not in the near future, but it's coming, and people are getting more fucking upset about it. It's going to happen. It's just going to take over, and we'll start again. I really hope, or the Earth will end us before it comes to that. I'd rather fucking total genocide, or I don't want fucking. I'm not going to become someone's sheep for fucking their enjoyment, and just because they think it's right, they don't have the. I get so angry about that sort of thing. Sorry.
Oh, don't worry, bro. You won't be around to enjoy it. There's also an extermination program as well, and they've got concentration camps of a very modern design being popping up everywhere, according to a lot of crazy fringe reporters that never get any credence by the mainstream media. So it must be true. All right. Well, thank you very much, Alexander Hales, up and coming comic, coming to you. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. Also, check out our website, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. There's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, make a donation or start up a regular automatic payment today. It doesn't matter whatever you can spare, because I'm out there trying to expose scumbaggery and giving people the mainstream media often wouldn't, let them share their ideas, a wee bit of a platform or something like that. So if you just like that happening by proxy, then start up an automatic payment, either through the PayPal with your credit card, you don't need a PayPal account, or if you're a New Zealander, you can do the Kiwi Bank account there that is on the homepage. Also check out our sponsors, the Gourmet Soap Kitchen in Wagga Wagga, Blue Shield, the High Tea Cafe, and also something to plug in specifically here, and also the two books that we have on the homepage, The Range of Illusion by B. Holmes, a nice little novel for you, and also The Crowdfunding Revolution by Kevin Lawton. We'll be right back.